it was like they were shining a light on it and I could see it for the first time. And I was just like understanding how much shame I felt for myself. And I had all these people telling me in their own, through their own story, why I didn't have to feel that way. Hi, I'm Angela Briones, and you're entering a world gone good.
Well, hello, my name is Steve, and this is the place where we shine the light into the darkness to prove there is still good out there, and lots of it. Welcome to World Gone Good. Okay, get your checklist out and start marking off what you've accomplished thus far. Have you? 1. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to us on right now. 2. Rated us. 3. Given us a quick review. 4. Shared us with your friends. 5. Followed us on Instagram and on Facebook. 5 ways I've just given you to make the world a gooder place. How many have you done? How about you do one right now? Pick one, your choice. For any and all of these options that you have done, we say, as always, thank you for helping us spread our world gone good. Okay, today we are coming out in the best way possible. Did you know that the percent of U.S. adults who identify as something other than heterosexual doubled between 2012 and 2022? In 2012, it was 3.5%, and in 2022, it went up to 7.1%. And check this out, more than 1 in 5, or 21%, of Gen Z adults identify as LGBTQT. The world is a-changing, but some things remain the same, including the fear and shame associated with coming out, and not just for the person who's doing the coming out. What about the relatives? I'm talking you moms and dads, the families of those people, the hopes and dreams and expectations that parents have for their own children, and how those can change when their child, sibling, or even their own parent comes out. It is a lot. And it's what our good guest focuses on her own podcast, The Gay Podcast for Everyone. I had the pleasure of being on her show a few weeks ago, and now she's here with us. This is Angela Briones, and this is her oh-so-good story. Well, it's another one of those times when I'm tooling around on the Insta, and I found somebody, and turns out she's another podcaster, so I started listening to her show, and I sent her a note, and I said, Angela, we should do something. We should trade promos or trailers. And the next thing I know, I was recording on your show, and here you now are.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming by. Where should I send the check?
There's money involved? I didn't know that.
If you say the right things, there will be. Angela, let's start here. I ask this of a lot of other people. What is good about Angela?
Oh, that's a tough one. What's good about Angela? I guess what's good about me? Isn't that a hard question, though? I guess I'm a good person, you know? Like, I try really hard. And the thing is, like we were talking the other day on my podcast, it's just not that hard to be a good person, you know?
Sure.
It's really not. So I guess Angela has good intentions. So that's a good thing.
Do you feel your truest version of yourself? Is there a version of yourself like you'd want to move back to, or you're moving forward toward?
It's difficult because I'm a Gemini. So I'm like 5 different people sometimes. And I was joking with my sister yesterday. I was telling her how I don't know which version of me is going to show up most times, you know, because I'll be like, I don't know. For example, we went to an escape room for my parents' birthday.
Fun.
We thought that would be fun. Yeah. It was fun for everybody except my parents, which was really interesting. Well, say this. My dad had a good time. My mom had like, it was really hot in the room. So she was like getting overwhelmed and she left like in the first 2 minutes. So we were like, oh, okay, bye. But I was telling my sister, I was like, you know, I don't know if competitive Angela is going to show up and like really be aggressive about winning this escape room challenge or, you know, because there's six people in the room. Am I going to be the Angela who's like, there's too many people in this room. You guys go for it. And I'll just like help if I can, you know? So
there are six people in the room, but there are like five or more versions exactly. of you. So that's what, 11?
Exactly. There's 11. You're right. So it's like, first of all, I'm a Gemini. Never know which version of me is going to show up. But yeah, I think that's the funniest part.
Now you are the host of your own podcast called The Gay Podcast for Everyone. Question number one.
Yes.
Where'd you come up with that title?
Well, it actually, before it was The Gay Podcast for Everyone, it was called They Can't All Be Betty. And it was kind of like a nod, if you will, to Betty DeGeneres, to the fact that, you know, she was the mom of a gay person who, when her child came out to her, she was there for her, but didn't necessarily like, she wasn't, you know, the spokesperson at the HRC event immediately. You know, it took her some time to get to that moment. And I really wanted to talk about that because that was the same for my mom too. You know, it was like, she didn't run away. She didn't, you know, close the door on me when I came out, but she also didn't really know what to do. And I want, you know, I started thinking like, there are a lot of people who are kind of like Betty DeGeneres. They have this journey from one moment to another, and it takes years or it takes months or whatever. And I wanted to talk about that. So I called it They Can't All Be Betty. But that title was like really difficult because whenever I'd explain it, I'd have to explain it just like that. It took a long time. You know, it wasn't like easy. It wasn't fast. It wasn't like people immediately got it. But in my intro, I would end the intro with, this is the gay podcast for everyone. And eventually, after I took a break, which I took a break, by the way, because my own podcast made me mad, because I started feeling like I was talking to parents about, like, I was giving them a high five for being good parents and showing up for their kid and not abandoning them. And I was like, this is crazy. Why am I doing this? Like, that's how I kind of felt. I don't think it was like that, but I felt like that.
But why? What spurred that on?
Well, because I just started thinking like, I'm having these conversations and it wasn't anything like my guests were doing, but I was like reacting as like, oh, that's so awesome that you were there for your kid. It's great. It's like I was giving them accolades for doing what they're supposed to do as a parent, you know? So I was just like, really, Angela, is that what we're doing here? And so I took a break because I was kind of angry with myself. I was like, did I let this get off track a little bit? And I don't think it got off track at all, to be honest with you. I think it was something I was feeling. Like, I don't think it was anything in the podcast or the episodes itself. I think it was something that was happening behind the scenes, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you had like a self-evolution.
Exactly. Yes. And so I took a break. And then in that break, I also moved. And so it was like a year-long break. And I was just like, you know what? That's not what that was about. You know, what it's about is it's about sharing your voice, learning how to share your voice. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's like learning how to be, as a gay person, learning how to be proud of ourselves and how to come out and how to, you know, stand in who we are. And same thing for our parents. Like, teaching them how to share their voice too, as a parent of a gay person or a trans person, you know, teaching them how to stand proud too. And I was like, that's what we're here for. That's what this is all about. It's about sharing these stories so that we can help each other navigate better, really.
It's a strange reversal, isn't it? It's the kind of thing where, like, I think everyone can relate to this. You reach a point where, I say this respectfully because I have a parent and I had two parents at one point, and you reach this point where you become an adult and you're finding you're kind of equal. And there are these other points where you go, oh, I have graduated to a different place and you're over here and they're over there, and they're still trying to parent you as they did when you were younger. But you're not seeing that I've evolved to this other place. They're not seeing that I've evolved to this other place. And I think for a lot of gay people, it's about acceptance and at the same time, not wanting to accept the family, right? And then you're also tasked with educating. It's a lot.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what it is like kind of educating is a great word because, I mean, my mom and my dad, they don't know what it means to be, well, not what it means to be gay, how it feels to be gay, you know? And I feel like I'm always talking about how I felt like other in the room, you know? Like I had to remind people, and I still have to remind people that I'm the gay person. So when we're talking about politics, which we try never to do, but when we discuss it, you know, I'm like, guess what? It's kind of different for me. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of different from my community. Like, I just feel like I'm always pointing something out.
So they fall more on the conservative side?
Yes. But also just in general, like, you know, straight privilege, you know?
Well, the world has been built by straight people, except
right,
for,
exactly.
You know, movies, TV, music, art, literature, sports. Sorry, just kidding. Continue, please.
And so I feel like I'm constantly reminding them, like, you know, it's not always like that for me.
Right.
And I don't want to be that person who's like, you know, victim-y about something or something like that. You know, you should feel bad for me because it's not from that point of view. It's just like I'm always trying to remind them that sometimes our community doesn't have the privilege that, you know, it's simple as that, you know, in certain circumstances. And a lot of times it does open their eyes, you know?
It has to. And it's also interesting because you started a podcast and from what you're telling us, it's reflected back a little bit on you. Was it reflecting back on you, your own existence, your experience?
Yeah, I really didn't expect to feel a lot of the things I did. I really think it was kind of like I was going through therapy, if you will. You know, I was just kind of like learning a lot about myself through listening to other people, through listening to a lot of moms, to be honest, a lot of parents. And I kept asking myself questions and started realizing, oh man, I really started realizing how much internalized homophobia I had without even knowing. Like I learned about internalized homophobia through my own podcast. I had a guest who talked about it. And I was like, what's that? And he starts explaining it. And he's like, you know, it's when you have this internalized shame from all the messages you've received as, you know, a child. And, you know, you should feel shame for being gay. It's conditioning. And I was like, yes, that is what I feel. That's exactly what I feel. So it's just so interesting how I've learned so much from just talking to amazing parents. And here this whole time I was like, why am I giving them a high five? That's not what I was doing. I was talking to these amazing people who were demonstrating to me that it was okay for me to be gay. You know what I mean? Like that internalized homophobia was kind of like, it was like they were shining a light on it and I could see it for the first time. And I was just like, understanding how much shame I felt for myself. And I had all these people telling me in their own, through their own story, why I didn't have to feel that way. And, you know, what's funny is because my parents didn't make me feel that way. Not at all. Like when I came out to my mom specifically, because by the way, I never came out to my dad. My mom told my dad for me, which was very helpful. I was like, but the funny thing is I didn't know she did that. And I was living with a girlfriend at the time who, you know, I called a roommate. Back then we called them roommates. And I didn't realize my dad knew for the longest time. So he'd always ask about her. And I was like, oh yeah, she's great, whatever, whatever. And then eventually when my mom tells me, oh, I already told him a long time ago, I was mortified because I felt like, oh my God, this entire time I've been talking about it so freely. And see, that's another, like, that is an example, perfect example of the shame. I was like, I was talking about it so freely and I shouldn't have been talking about it like that. And then you're like, well, why not? You know, why shouldn't you be talking about it freely. Like if you were dating a guy, you would. So what's the difference?
I think it also comes down to how you say it and what the words were you used. I do replace so many things in my head, right? Many of us gay or straight do this. We replace situations in our mind over and over. And then we go back to that person and say, I'm so sorry I said that. And they have no idea what we were even talking about. It was all in our own heads. They're like, when did that happen? What are you talking about? Who are you?
Exactly. But like when I came out to my mom, she didn't say anything to me. She didn't have to. Like, you know, she asked me if I was gay because, and I forgot how it kind of came up. I was living with the same person. We were roommates for a while. It was kind of obvious. It was one of those things. And she's like, are y'all together? I think that's how she said it. And I said, yes. And we cried and she held my hand and that was it. And, you know, she didn't say anything. She didn't have to, but I felt like she said like these momentous words. You know, I just kept thinking, it felt like she said, I don't understand this, but I love you. Now, where do we go from here? And I felt that. And she didn't even say a word. You know what I mean? And I was just like, that's why I want to have this podcast. I want to tell parents and families that you don't have to be the parent on the float of a pride parade. You know, you can, and if you want to, great, you know, and you don't have to be Betty DeGeneres. You don't have to be the speaking at the HRC event. But if you, as long as you just show up for your kid, whether that kid is 10 or 29 or 59, you know, like show up for your kid, just be there. Don't go anywhere. That's all you have to do.
I think that's parenting 101, and I'm not a parent.
You would think so, right?
You would think so. You'd hope so.
Yeah. You'd hope
so. It's funny. Yes. I have a very good friend, and he's with his boyfriend for a really long time. And he called him his partner. They were like partners, right? So they break up, and his sister told his dad, and his dad asked the question, what about the business? What happens to the business? And his sister can't figure out what business his dad is talking about. Then she realizes he thought partner, when they said they were partners, meant business partner. So she carefully has to say, you know, when we said that they were partners, that they said that they meant in life that they're gay. And his father tried to cover like, oh yeah, sure. I knew that. But we don't think he knew that. He knew what he knew. And
yeah,
that's okay.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the podcast. You speak with straight parents, parents of LGBTQ kids. Who knows if the parents are straight or not? That came out wrong out of my mouth. That is the focus of a whole other show. but the focus of your show is to sort of hold their hand through it. How would you describe it?
No, it's more like I speak with parents of the LGBTQ community. You know, they have kids who are trans, who are gay, who are lesbian, what have you. And then I also speak to our community as well to tell their story from their point of view. And that way everybody can, you know, just share their journey and we can kind of talk about the gay, quote unquote, you know, because like, again, I'm trying to like dismantle the shame that comes with this word. Like when I was growing up, I heard the word. I knew there was shame attached to it. I knew that there were gay people. I should say that because like I was in this dance company and there was like, I was a kid and there were some adults who were gay men. And I knew they were gay, but I didn't really know what that meant. But then later, as I start understanding that I'm gay, for some reason I attach shame to it. I don't even know how that happened. I'll be honest, because at the time I knew those dancers and we were dancing together, like there was nothing but love for them from everybody, including my family. But for some reason, somewhere along the line, I don't know, even know where or how, shame started becoming attached to me for whatever reason.
Or a negative. It's just a negative.
Yeah, just negative. And so like, I just was like, I want this to be a place where we can talk about this topic and we can normalize it and talk about our stories, because really it's not so different. You know, we all want the same thing. We all want to be loved. We all want to have love. we all want to be safe, secure, you know, and it's just the more we talk about different circumstances. And even like recently, I had somebody on my podcast who identifies as non-binary and didn't have their parents' support. And didn't have their parents' support when they came out. Well, quasi had their parents' support because they came out as a lesbian first, like a long time ago, like in their timeline. And for some reason, that was okay with their parents. Like, it was like, okay, you're a lesbian. Check. That's fine. We're okay with that. But the moment it was like, well, I identify as non-binary, it changed the story for them for whatever reason. And they didn't offer support anymore, you know, emotional support. And the communication was destroyed, et cetera. And this person has really been on their own ever since. And they talked about that. You know, they talked about that experience of even having top surgery without family support, like without anybody being there. They actually went alone when they went through the surgery and recovered with some friends around them, but, you know, not with their biological family around them. So I really wanted to share that story too, because I want other people to hear, like, you know, I don't want my kid or my sibling to go through that. I don't want them to feel alone.
On that note, it has nothing to do with that person, I feel. Well, not nothing. More of it has to do with mom and dad and, you know, dealing with their own stuff. And it's
right.
So
yes.
Hard to separate all that because we're so, you know, wrapped up in expectations and we're related at the same time and all those things. So there's that. That said, how incredible is it that we live in a time that you get to talk about this stuff? We get to talk right now on this podcast, on your podcast, and the whole world gets to hear it. You didn't know anyone like that. You couldn't talk to anyone about it when you were younger. It's really amazing the good you can do on your show and right here just by sharing for all these younger people and their parents who may just, you know, find it, listen to it on their phone. I didn't have that kind of exposure or access when I was young. It's like, it's hope. You're giving hope.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And to give a space for parents to tell their story too and listen to somebody else kind of going through the same thing.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of moms specifically. I don't think I've had any dads. I've had like gay men on the show. I need to find some dads. So if anybody's listening and they're a dad of an LGBTQ kiddo, please reach out to me because I'd love to talk to you. But, I've had some moms just say like, you know, I learned a lot by listening to this episode. You know, I learned a lot. I didn't feel alone, you know, that's really meaningful.
I really, again, go back to expectations. So much of it has to do with that. We are essentially always, many, many people, I mean, are growing up in a family filled with certain expectations.
Right.
Mom and dad got married, husband and wife, had kids, and that's the norm. That's what we, you know, we see. That's what we saw. And then some of us realize that's not how I feel inside for me. That's not for me. But you have this expectation that you have to do the same. And the world, it isn't always like that. It's not everyone's story, right? It used to be like the black sheep of the family or the swinging bachelor and the old maid. So many of those people, I was like, I'm pretty sure you were gay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They probably were. And also, though, like you bring up a good point. Like there may not be too many examples in somebody's life of, you know, a gay couple who has kids, you know, like in California, sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, but in like different parts of the United States or even the world, there may not be examples like that. So like for me, one of my childhood friends, he was on my podcast with his mom, who was basically like a mom to me, really. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, she was always supportive and he always knew he was gay and now he's married and has two kids. And I just love having that conversation on there of just having this mom and her son, just her talking to him and about him the exact same way she talks about her other two kids who happen to be straight. You know, they're all married. They all have kids. They're all, you know, happy. She loves all of them equally. There's like no difference. And I think it's important for people to hear that, you know, of, and a lot of times I think, like you said, like parents just don't have an example. Kids just don't have an example. If they can just hear somebody else say it, like sometimes it's all you need.
When someone comes to your podcast, what should they expect to hear? What should they expect to learn? What are your own expectations and goals?
I mean, they should just expect to hear like a really personal story, you know, a good story about whether it's a coming out story. It could, but it's not necessarily a coming out story from somebody in our community. It might be a parent who's sharing how they came out as a parent of an LGBTQ person. A lot of the reason why I started the podcast too is because I was like, how are my parents answering the question? Because I, you know, I have a younger sibling and she's a straight woman. And I was like, you know, when people ask my parents, how are your kids? They're probably like, oh, you know, Lori's great. You know, she's married, whatever, whatever. And I was like, are they answering the question about me, you know, just as excited, you know, Angela's great. She's got a girlfriend, whatever. I'm like, I think that might, it might be a little different for me. I just had that assumption. I don't even know if that's true. I haven't even asked them yet. That's part of my future podcast, by the way, my future podcast plan. But I wanted to ask parents that. So like they can expect to hear stories like that of like parents telling their journey, answering those type questions. And even kids, you know, and again, when I say kids, I mean adult kids. Although I will say, perfect example, something you can expect to hear. There was a parent who had a coming out party for her 10-year-old son. Her son was like, I'm gay. I want a coming out party. I want to celebrate this. And most people would be like, that's interesting. You know, like, I don't know how I feel about that. And here's this family who they had a huge coming out party in San Antonio for their kid. And so it's just a bunch of different stories, whether it's coming out, whether it's just how can we, you know, it might be specific challenges like not having your parental support. But at the end of the day, it's all about building stronger connections.
Where can people find the Gay Podcast for Everyone and how can they follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram. It's really the only platform I'm on. I can only handle one at a time. So I'm on Instagram @thegaypodcast_for everyone. And by the time this airs or publishes, I should say, I'll have my website up. It's www. I don't even, why am I saying that? Like,
I always make fun when people say www. I'm like, you are over 45 if you just said that.
Why did I just do that?
Keep like going, keep going.
Like, oh my gosh, who is this person? It's the Gay Podcast for everyone.com.
Okay, before we get to the very end here, we need to know, did you get out of the escape room?
No.
You failed?
We failed. Aww. And it wasn't our fault. I'm going to go on record.
That's what everyone says. That's the go-to.
Yeah. There was like, yeah, I could tell you the story, but basically there was a confusion and I think it was because somebody didn't mark something properly. So yeah, we misunderstood. It's not our fault.
Confusion and rage and slight alcoholism is why most people can't make it out of an escape room.
Yeah, we failed.
The final two questions we ask everybody can go back to anything you've already talked about or anything you want to say. Question number one is this: who inspires you?
So again, my Gemini self, this answer will change even by the time this publishes. But right now I'm super inspired by this person. He's a chef. He's a writer. His name is Hugo, or for me, I'm a Hispanic girl. His name is Hugo Gambino. It's Hugo Gambino, if without the accent. He's a chef. He's a writer. He's doing doing amazing storytelling on Instagram, just telling stories of his ancestors. And it resonates with me, you know, like he's sitting there cooking something that, you know, his great grandmother taught him or something. And just the way he tells a story visually, and then like you're listening to basically his blog post, and it's beautiful storytelling. And I'm inspired by it because as a writer, you know, I just want to tell story as deeply and in a way that I can connect to other people and make an impact as possible. And he's making a serious impact with me, and it inspires me a lot right now for today.
And the final question is not even a question. It is a statement to finish. It's pretty simple. Tell me something good.
I think something good is gray hair and wrinkles, to be honest with you. And I say that because I am approaching my 50th birthday in June. And my best friend passed away when she was 43. I was 42. And it never occurred to me that we would not be celebrating our birthdays together. We're both June birthdays. She's a year, you know, ahead of me. But so when I see gray hair and wrinkles, it's a privilege. And that's a good thing. I'm grateful for it.
Thank you, Angela, for sharing your good. Go give The Gay Podcast for Everyone a listen. You'll be glad you did. Next time on World Gone Good.
I tell him I want to be an activist. And he says, what kind of activism are you interested in getting involved with, John? And I said, I want to be an animal activist. And he stops dead in his tracks, looks at me, and he says, if you want to be an animal activist, you should really think about the fact that you have a garbage bag full of reindeer meat slung over your shoulder. And up until that point in my life, I swear to God, I had never made the connection between my love for animals and the animals who I chose to put on my plate.
John Oberg is an animal advocate, and he's using his influencer status to educate and elevate others around him. His mission? To make the world a kinder place for animals. And he must be doing something right, because through his strategic use of his social media platforms, his content has been seen by over 1 billion, yes, billion, people. I can't wait for you to meet this thought-provoking, change-making good guest on our next all-new episode. Until then, be good.